we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. I think today is a good day to pray for our country. National Day of Prayer today. I pray that you will make it out to one of the many events going on throughout the county. If not, you know, maybe if you drive by City Hall, if you have a City Hall, you could stop in there for just a little bit of time and pray, and pray for our schools. Tonight at 7 p.m. is going to be the countywide National Day of Prayer at First Baptist Church of Merritt Island. And we want to say thank you to that great church for making their facilities available. And I mentioned that, and I want you to know I'm going to be praying today. In fact, we'll probably start our broadcast off with that, just to make it a priority. And so, because sometimes my clock here malfunctions and runs too fast, and I don't get to everything that I wanted to get to. So we'll move that up to the very front of the line here. But please forgive me if you do not see me there tonight. It is not because I am unconcerned or not a person of prayer. My wife is having a birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday, honey. And I've told her to take the day off from work, and so she did. And so I'm taking her away for the day just to allow her to unwind a little bit. She is a very, very busy woman, and I have been blessed and highly favored of the Lord with her as my spouse for a long, long time now, and don't plan on changing that at all. So want to take you to the Word of God here in just a little bit. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 5, but if we could, let's pray for our country right now. Heavenly Father, we just come to you. Lord, we know that our country is made up of many localities, and so we know that whenever you begin to move in a nation, you start at the church. Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. Lord, and when it begins at the house of the Lord, it begins with the leadership. It begins with the priests or the pastors. And so, Father, we pray that you would stir the hearts of pastors in this community and deacons and board members and Sunday school teachers. God, I pray that you would begin to move us, Lord, that there would be a hunger and a thirst. God, that we would be crying out to you, that we would not only be declaring things with our mouth, but we would be living them with our innermost being. God, I pray that we would be consistent in our declarations and our life's manifestations. God, I pray that we would be people who are passionate about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Would you send a moving of the Holy Spirit in our churches, God? Lord, where people are crying out, what must we do to be saved? God, I pray that there would be a hunger and a thirst in our churches and in our communities, oh God. Lord, that there would be a hunger and thirst for righteousness. God, I pray for our school board members, our government officials, our mayors and county commissioners, God, that you would minister to them, that you would impart to them wisdom from heaven. Lord, they are bombarded so many times with wisdom from men's philosophies, with the wisdom that comes with resources. But God, I pray today that you would let them know that you understand the pressures that come with governing. God, impart to them wisdom from heaven that you might enable them to do their job. God, I pray that there would be principles of godliness that are reintroduced into our society. God, many of them have been lost, and I pray, God, that you would restore them. I pray, God, that you would move here in the state of Florida. I pray that you would move in our nation's capital. God, that there would be a realization, Lord, that apart from you, we can do nothing. Apart from you, we cannot fix our economy. Apart from you, we cannot fix our justice system. Apart from you, we cannot fix our legislature. God, we need you. Lord, today we confess that we have been very good at sin, but we repent of that sin, and we ask that you would forgive us, you would cleanse us, you would empower us to live differently from this day forward. God, I pray that you would raise up leaders of godliness, men and women of faithfulness, men and women of character, who would lead us in the paths of righteousness. Lord, you said that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And so, God, I pray for a holy boldness, a boldness to live out the principles of your word. But God, one of the things that I believe is that America is not great because of it. It was an economic powerhouse, but Lord, it was great because it has a desire to reach the nations of the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so God, we pray for Israel today. You said that there's a blessing that awaits those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So we pray for peace in Jesus' name. We pray for the Middle East as a whole, God, that everyone's eyes would be open to the reality of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would visit in dreams and you would minister. Lord, that you would send a revival. Lord, if you could save Paul, there is no enemy of the gospel today that cannot be reached by your grace and by your Holy Spirit. We pray for the United Nations, God, that they would once again have their eyes open to the reality that there is only one King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you are He. God, I pray that you would allow them the humility to hear from heaven. God, I pray that you would raise up men like you did when America was first established, that when they were at an impasse, they said, men, what we need to do is we need to pray. And breakthrough came. God, restore prayer as a priority in our community. Restore it in us personally, communally, and nationally. God, because we want to hear from heaven. Lord, we thank you for all of the different members of the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for every Bible preaching church. Lord, those who hold to the principles of your word, who proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would send a harvest of souls to Brevard County. Lord, I pray for Merit Assembly of God that the latter part of this year would yield more souls being saved than the first part of the year has. God, we need you. God, I am so tired of losing young people to the snares of the world and the traps of the enemy. God, we pray for our kids right now that we would not leave it to the church to train up our children, but Lord, our children would see the principles of your word lived out in our home. God, I pray that there would be distinction. Lord, if there's unsaved parents, but there are saved grandparents, I pray that you would open kids' eyes so that they could see the difference. God, that there would be a different outcome. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move to convict of sin. Lord, we cannot convict of sin just by a mental dissertation, a verbal dissertation. God, it takes the Holy Spirit to change a heart. Holy Spirit, would you move sovereignly in our midst? In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for the radio station here, God, that you would touch and you would minister in a supernatural way, that you would meet every need. You'd meet every financial need, every physical need. God, I pray that your blessing. I thank you, God. We are not beggars today. God, I just want to thank you today. Merit Assembly of God serves the all-sufficient one. Lord, I thank you today that you have all of the resources that are necessary. God, I want to thank you for the big dreams that you have given to us. Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that there is provision. God, we want you to use us to reach this world as only you can do. God, whoever would have thought that a church that no one can see from the two main roads on Merritt Island could touch the world. God, you did. You did. So God, I pray for pastors right now. Lord, there may be some that are dealing with depression or insecurities today and thinking that they are not amounting to much or not accomplishing much. But God, I pray that you would give them divine, eternal perspective to see that the seeds that they are sowing are going to result in harvest. The water that they are pouring upon those seeds is going to result in harvest. God, you are the Lord of the harvest. So minister to every pastor today. Minister to every pastor's wife. God, and pastor's wives are one of those people that are often overlooked and often taken for granted. I pray that you would minister to them, heal them from any unkind words that have been said, for anything that they may have been misunderstood for. God, I pray that you would heal them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for worship leaders that they would be able to lead us into the presence of God. God, it is such a good thing to be part of the body of Christ. We bless you. We thank you. And I pray today, God, that as we have cried out to you, that you will hear from heaven. You will heal our land. God, America is not beyond healing, but it cannot come without you. Would you heal our land for your glory? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So today we're, the scripture, we are going to go to Isaiah chapter 5. We're just going to touch on a couple of verses. I'm not going to read to you the whole passage of scripture because we did just take a good portion of time there as we cried out to God. But in verse number 16 of Isaiah chapter 5, it says, "But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness." There have been a number of times through the years when I have watched as a judgment or a decision was made, and I'm not always talking about in a courtroom setting, but judgments that were made that outraged people. It's like, how in the world could, how in the world could they find that person not guilty? How in the world could they find that person guilty? There are other, lesser judgments. You know, how could they call that a strike? How could they call that a penalty? Blah, 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 blah. But here's the thing about God's judgment is that when God makes a judgment, at the end of the day, everybody is going to say, you know what? There was no one better positioned, no one better qualified, no one who ever made a better judgment than God. It says, "But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment." You see, in my life, Jesus has not been only exalted to the place of Savior. He is exalted to the place of judge. He is exalted. I'm thankful that he's on the throne. I'm thankful that he is the one who makes the decisions, because I don't want to make it by my emotions. I want these decisions to be made not by a bank account, not by social status or fame. I want those judgments based upon a solid standard, and that standard is the Word of God and the blood of the Lamb. I'm not here to compare myself by myself or to compare myself with you. I'm here today to compare myself to Jesus Christ. He's the perfect one. I'm only able to come before the throne of grace because of his sacrificial work upon the cross. He shed his blood to forgive me of my sins, and that same blood was there to forgive you of your sins, your neighbors of their sins, and your family members of their sins. The verse goes on and says, and God who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness. And so if I, that word hallowed, let me translate that a little bit for you. Shall be hallowed, shall be seen as holy. And God who is holy shall be seen as holy in righteousness. His holiness will be on demonstration. And so if I could just get across to the body of Christ that it is not the words that come across our lips that cry, holy, 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 that make us holy, 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 or him holy. That's not what holiness is. Holiness is not just obeying a black and white list of do's and don'ts. It is living in right standing with God. What if instead of asking ourselves, I wonder if it's permissible for me to do this, what if we asked ourselves, will this action reflect the holiness of God to those that I live in the midst of? What if that was the standard? You see, that is not determined by a hairstyle or the type of clothes that you wear or anything else. It is, okay, I want to do this. I want to live this way because I want people to see the holiness of God. I want to live in righteousness so that others will see that God is holy and he is exalted. What a different mindset. You see, I have this understanding that if you are trying to defend something, that you might not have control of it. It might have control of you. And so if it's one of those gray areas, as some people would term it, if you're trying to defend it, like there are a lot of people, they have things and there are some scriptures that don't talk completely negative about it, and people will embrace those things and say, see there, I am entitled to do this. But I want to ask you, is it going to lead someone to Jesus? Is it going to cause people to say, you know what? Your God is different. Because I really want people to see that this Jesus that I know is not just the person who causes these words to come out of my mouth. He's the one who changed my life. I've told the story before. I'll tell it again. There was a person who was not a Christian, but we had a good relationship. And so we would talk, and we blessed them when they were alive. We blessed them with food and stuff like that. Made sure that they didn't go hungry at Thanksgiving, and just had a pretty good relationship. But we were always trying to introduce them to Jesus. And when one day this person said, Bob, you make Jesus sound so real. And I called the person by name and I said, you know, that's the easiest job in the world because he is real. He is real. Let's live our life as if one day we are going to stand before a holy, perfect God who knows every thought that we've ever thought, knows everything we've ever done, and knows why we did it. Because one day we are going to have to stand and give an account to him. Verse number 20. This is a good place for us to spend today here on our National Day of Prayer as the standard of life in America has so radically changed. I want to take you to verse number 20, Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20, and it says this, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. He says that whenever we begin to redefine things that he's already defined, that it once again, it's this word woe, W-O-E. Woe is a lamentable condition, not a commendable condition. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. You see, in order for you to define one term, you have to redefine both terms. And quite frankly, I'm going to want to ask, if you're redefining, what are your credentials? How are your credentials superior to those who had defined those terms before? Because much of what we see that is transpiring in America is people who have taken terms from 1700s and they have redefined that verbiage with modern definitions that were not intended back in the 1700s. And as a result of the redefinition, they have interpreted those old passages to mandate new lifestyles that were not anywhere close to what was intended by the original authors. Okay? That's just constitutional. That's just going on here in America. Not just here in America, it's going on around the world. But even more so is, what about when they have redefined terms that go back to the throne room of heaven? You see, God is the one who defines the terms good and evil. It goes all the way back to Genesis. God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I heard a preacher say one time, well, how else were they going to know the difference between good and evil? Listen, the way that you know it is you know God. If you know God and you don't, you know that everything that he's going to do in your life is good. See, part of what people struggle with now is they say, why does God allow suffering? Why doesn't God just wipe all evil off the planet? Do you realize that in order for him to do that, he would have to wipe off the planet, every man, woman, and child? And he's interested in not seeing people perish. It's his will that they have everlasting life. It's his will that they come to repentance. And so it is his mercy that that mindset has not been demonstrated. Woe to those. It's lamentable when we redefine evil as good, but it's also mandated that if we're going to do that, we've got to redefine good as evil. So, church, let me speak to you. If you have never been moved by the National Day of Prayer, can I use this platform that God has provided for us today to call you to pray? Because no matter where you are on the social issues and the redefinition of terms and the things that are mandated, let me put it to you in a very simple way. The things that we have always believed and the things that have always been good, they are being redefined as evil. And should that process continue, you and I are going to be marginalized in society. So I want to encourage you today, let's not compromise. Let's call what the Bible calls good, let's call it good. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's good. That's good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's good. When the person came and said, good master, Jesus said, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. And so let's recognize that if it is from God, it is good. It is good. And then let's make sure that when we're doing that, that we don't compromise our message and soft pedal what the Bible calls evil. Let's stand and declare it is evil. it is evil. God is good and the devil is evil. God is good and the devil is evil. And please, please, let's be people who truly believe the things that we declare. Because no revival has ever come from softening the standard of righteousness. No revival has ever come when we've redefined what is good as evil and that which is evil as good. No revival's ever come because it doesn't necessitate change. Listen, I like for people to like me as much, if not more, than everybody around here. But my ultimate goal is for God to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And what good would it do me if the whole world was clapping and applauding me and saying, you know, that I was doing well, and yet God rejected me because I had gone along with this process of redefining evil and good. Let's stick with God's definitions. Let's stick with, now listen, if you don't read the Bible and you don't know what God says is evil, then you're going to be in captivity to that, like we've talked about in previous broadcasts. If you don't read the Bible and find out what God says is good and pleasing in his sight, then you're not going to know what is good and pleasing in his sight. You're not going to know that he wants you to abstain from sexual immorality. You're not going to know that what his good and acceptable and perfect will is. God wants you and I. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil and put darkness for light and light for darkness." Listen, the devil wants to keep you in the dark. He wants to keep you completely captivated by all of the things that are going on. He doesn't want you having your life illumined by the principles of God's word, because then you would realize the actual depravity all around you. God wants light. Jesus is the light of the world, and who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're running out of time today, but my wife, she likes dimly lit dinners and stuff like that. And I said, "Honey, I can't do dimly lit dinners." I said, "'Cause when I was younger, I went to a restaurant. There was very little light. They brought out the rolls and I reached for the butter and there were two dishes, butter. And what I didn't know was there was a sour cream dish right beside it. Both of them were shaped exactly the same way. Both of them in exactly the same dish. And I buttered my roll with sour cream. And as a result of that, it didn't taste like it was supposed to." I said, "You know what? Never again do I want to taste something differently than what it's supposed to." God bless you. Let's see a National Day of Prayer. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."